We got a great show for you today. We take on furries. We take on the Palestinian craziness. We are in really dangerous times. The economy, also a preview of tomorrow night's 90-minute special on the election. And it is a must-watch. It'll be free for 24 hours on Blaze TV. But we urge you to subscribe to Blaze TV and join us tomorrow. You can, if you're not a subscriber, use secure 2024 at blazetv.com/Glenn and get your subscription. This is not only the problem, but we're including the solution to that problem. And you are critical. And it's not, this is bipartisan. This is not partisan. I don't care who you voted for. We all should agree that the election has got to be secure. And we have found something that was presented at the Supreme Court and now is in open records, a way to hack in and possibly change the results of the election. And it has got to be shored up. That's on tomorrow's podcast.
Anything else on Blaze TV when you're doing your special, like maybe right before it, something like that? Is there anything for people
really
to watch?
Good.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Blaze TV has great programming to all
it
sorts
does,
of shows.
And then we have a couple that we just like are, you know, lame legs. That we just kind of...
lame legs?
Yeah. You know, when I think of you and your show, Stu, on Blaze, I think of Marty Feldman, where he's like, walk this way. And, yeah, you know, he's dragging that leg behind him.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think of.
It's called Stu Does America, available every week right here on this network.
Don't miss it. It's all tomorrow. Here's the podcast. We've reached a state in modern business and technology where it's not only possible to build a parallel economy, it's basically necessary at this point. Didn't used to be that way, but I still believe in the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, heck, the Second, the Eighth, the Tenth, the Twelfth. I happen to believe in them. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative mobile company. On top of that, they offer dependable nationwide coverage so you can access any of the three major networks that everybody's on. You don't have to worry that part of your bill is going to some leftist cause like Planned Parenthood. They offer affordable, excellent plans, 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It's going to help make switching easy for you. So whether you're keeping your number, your phone, or upgrading one or both, use PatriotMobile.com/Beck or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, or PatriotMobile.com/Beck.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Tomorrow night on The Blaze, we are doing a very dangerous show. We're going to show you the truth. But the truth revolves around some very powerful and very well-moneyed and litigious groups of people. And if our information is misunderstood or twisted, it will be extraordinarily damaging to not only this show, my voice, but also The Blaze itself. And this is, I've done a billion shows. I did shows on George Soros, a week expose on him. And we haven't spent as much time with attorneys as we have on this show. We want to be very careful. And I also want to be very careful. I got a call from a friend. This is how it started. I got a call from a friend who said, Glenn, you have to talk to John Graves. I said, who's John Graves? And he said, John Graves, he's a CEO. He is a software guy and an attorney. And I said, okay, what does he want to talk about? And he said, the stealing of the election. And I said, I'm hanging up the phone. I do not want to live in 2020 anymore. Okay. I don't want to hear it. We had Sidney Powell on, and we said to her, she was on one time, and I said, you call me when you have the evidence, but don't come on and say that you have evidence if you don't have evidence. And now it doesn't matter except to secure the elections. And he said, that's why you need to talk to John Graves. And I said, why? And he said, because this came up in a Supreme Court case. People, the people who know what they're looking for will see this, and this could screw up all of our elections. And he said he didn't want anything to do with it if it was going to be about relitigating 2020 or if it was just speculation. He said, but there is a very dangerous weakness in the system. And now it has been exposed. It is out in the open because it's in the Supreme Court case that's just being heard now. So I called John. We had a long conversation, and then I passed him on to our researchers and our attorneys and everything else. And we have an amazing show for you tomorrow. And we also have the solution to the problem, which is very rare that you get just the problem and the solution. John Graves joins me now. Hi, John.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Did I set that up to your satisfaction on the way you feel?
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. I've been a skeptic on the whole software thing for a lot of reasons. And I don't think you or I or the guy who introduced us, any of us, are focused on stealing the election or the past. My thing has been, how do we get fair and secure elections in this country? And part of the reason I was skeptical is I own software companies and database companies. And I thought, well, there's so many things that are irrefutable. If you just tell the truth about Hunter Biden, yeah, it's a different election outcome.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with software. If you stop Zuckbucks funding $500 million, there's a different outcome. That has nothing to do with software.
Right.
You require signature verifications instead of all these mail-in ballots and draw. So I had like five reasons why there were problems in the election, and none of them had the word software in them. And I thought, nobody's going to get a deep dive. Nobody's going to get anything. And even if you do, politically, what are you doing going backwards? But when I found this evidence, at first I thought, this can't be right, because I know enough about it that what they found in this software, it really alarmed me. And I was concerned about everything you just said, but I was also concerned, what happens if we don't have a solution and people just get demoralized?
Oh, that's my gosh. Problem. If
that's the problem.
What's really disturbing, John, is now I'm describing this on the air, and everything has been run through attorneys, as an alleged weakness. But
yes, that's right.
I have seen this. I've seen people use what we're going to show tomorrow and go in and change things.
Yep.
So
that's right.
It's not an alleged weakness. We're not casting, any intent or ill will or anything. It's just, it is a weakness that is there. How it will be used or if it would be used is a different story.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. And that's what I tell people when people, you know, have a theory or there is a problem like this. And this is a pretty clear, if these allegations are true and the systems for 2024 have this, it's a very serious problem because you can change things and cover your tracks, but there is a workable solution by this November. And so that's kind of where I went into motion, is like, let's find a way to take every person, a regular person like me, who is out here going, I just want fair and secure elections. We live in a world where when Hillary loses, she blames software and the Russians. When Trump loses, he blames all kinds of things, including software. We need to live in a country where whoever loses says, you know what? I lost a fair fight. I lost a fair and secure election. That's what my passion is.
It is the only thing that will hold us together. If we lose our faith this time around, it's done.
Yep.
It's done. And everything is stacked against us trusting this election on both sides, either side.
That's right.
So we have to do everything. And this is, tomorrow night is a show that is not just for people who vote for Donald Trump or vote for conservatives. It is one who votes for Bernie Sanders or Bill Clinton or Joe Biden. We all should be very concerned about the vote. And we have the documentation, and we will take you through. This is a 90-minute special tomorrow, because we want to be very, very careful. And you're with me on set, are you not?
Yes, yeah. I am, yes.
Right. And then we're going to present the solution tomorrow night as well. And then I'd love to have you, John, come and spend maybe at least an hour with me on radio the next day to talk about the solution. Because if this is heard properly, if we present it properly, and you follow the system that we think will change things, and it's both Democrat and Republican, and nobody's being accusatory, it will change. It will change. And if it doesn't,
that's right,
then you know. And you at least know.
Yes.
Have you found anyone, John, that has a reasonable explanation on no, what you're seeing here is not that?
No, I haven't. They had three cybersecurity experts that were eminently qualified, including people who had tested these machines, and basically are giving up their career to go public with their sworn statements under penalty of perjury. So I engaged several cybersecurity people that I've known. I have a lot of programmers that work for me, but I hired people that were specialists to say, am I crazy? This looks pretty troubling. and haven't found an exception yet. Everyone agrees it's pretty basic problems of what they found, you know, and there's some of these systems that are out there now. It's not even just an allegation. They're in the public domain. So a cyber person can go look at this and make their own decision.
Yeah.
And so
that was the thing
know,
that was
me,
so concerning to me. It's one thing. I mean, it's still really, really bad if that exists, but it's another thing that it's been exposed and is in the public record now a case. Because if you know what you're looking for, if you were following that, you could go find it and you could possibly change the election.
That's correct. Yeah. And so there are solutions to it. You can, the citizens, the people in charge of elections are the county officials. And so the solution is we created a tool to connect a voter to that person. And we're going to be talking about that on the show.
And how many counties are there that this would be a concern?
Over 722 counties, about 50 million people. There are 3,143 counties in America, and at least 722 plus use this. Some counties split between different programs. But part of what we're asking is, hey, go look at all your counties. We don't, just because this is on here, this could be and not known on some of the other ones. And it's a very simple to just do a what I'm calling a bipartisan inspection. We don't need a 5-year audit. We don't want one side looking. Just walk in there with the video, show the database, and make sure you got a Democrat and a Republican standing there. That we want both sides to say, hey, we want a fair election. That's what we want. Right. And we want it to be secure.
Tomorrow, you will see this on my Wednesday night special. It is a special 90-minute version. Because we not only are going to really explain in a deep sort of way what the problem is, we're going to show you what this problem creates if we don't fix it, and then we offer you the solution, and it is very, very clear. I would urge you, if you work for the county, that you find your commissioner, election commissioner, and make sure they're watching it. Invite them over to your house or whatever. Watch it. It doesn't matter of Republican or Democrat. This is not a partisan issue. And, you know, you don't have to take my word for it. We're going to show you everything you need to know to check it out for yourself. So please join us. This one is a little frightening because if people take it wrong, we misspeak, or if there are nefarious purposes, it's a well-moneyed system that possibly wants things to remain the same. We just want to make sure that you have the information. So please join us. You can go to blazetv.com/Glenn use the promo code secure 2024 blazetv.com/Glenn. Join us. By the way, you can watch the show. People always say, well, if it's so important, why don't you make it? We're making this show free for 24 hours. So tomorrow night at 9 p.m., and it will go through 9 p.m., it will be free for 24 hours on Blaze TV. But we do ask that you would join us. Please join us. We need your support. BlazeTV.com/Glenn and on my X account at Glenn Beck. Secure 2024.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
Well, the day has finally come to a close. As you ease yourself down into bed, stare up at the ceiling, thinking about what tomorrow's going to bring, is the answer pain? If you're living with pain, I may have an answer for you. Now, this is not a pain reliever per se. It's not something that you take like, ow, I got a headache. This is a daily supplement that helps your body fight pain by fighting inflammation, and it's 100% drug-free. Over a million people have tried Relief Factor's Quick Start Kit. 70% of them have gone on to order it again and again, and it helps reduce or eliminate the everyday aches and pains that you're experiencing. Relief Factor can help you feel better. See how Relief Factor can help you with their three-week Quick Start. It's only $19.95, comes with Relief Factor's Feel Better or Your Money Back Guarantee. So why not give it a try? Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. When you feel the difference, you know it works. Now, back to the podcast. Kirsten Pledger is on with me. She is a mom who has students at the Mount Nebo Middle School. She's been fighting against furries, along with many other people, at Utah Middle School. Now, I thought it was important to bring this story to you because it's in Utah. And whatever you might think of Utah, you know one thing, they believe in God. You know, they're very, very conservatives. If you've ever met, you know, people in a Mormon community, it is like stepping back in time just a little bit sometimes, because it's just a good, solid, you know, family-rooted community. If it's happening there, you won't believe what's happening in your school. Kirsten, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So you're a mom of four.
Yes.
You're a hairstylist.
Yep.
Salon is in your house. Your husband,
yeah,
and you also have an HVAC company. You're involved with your kids. You're an advocate for adoption. Why are you getting involved in the furry thing?
Well, because I have heard, I mean, my son has been complaining about it for a really long time now.
How is he complaining about it?
Complaining that it's distracting kids chewing on sticks in class or licking themselves in class during a lecture, or kids bringing tennis balls to school and throwing them down the hallway for the dog furries to chase, furries rubbing up against them, scratching them, spraying them in the eyes with Febreze, barking at them. At first, I didn't know what to think.
Okay, hang on just a second. One of those things didn't belong. I mean, the tennis ball, the stick, the licking themselves, I got it all. Spraying with Febreze, what is that all about?
I have no idea, but they are spraying kids in the eyes with Febreze.
Oh, okay. But just in the eyes.
I'm assuming like a cat sprays or something. I'm not positive.
Okay. All right. So this has been going on for how long?
I've known about it for a few years now. In Nebo School District, I've known about it for about 2 years.
Okay. Your son is in sixth grade. And yeah, they say that, you know, this is just kids being kids. I'm sorry, but my father and my grandfather, if I were dressing up, licking myself, chewing on a stick, they would have looked at me and said, what the hell is wrong with you?
Exactly.
They're not four. They're in sixth grade. And he says it's distracting. I've heard that at this school, there's one teacher that had been bitten by a furry. Is that true?
I have no idea if that one's true.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me. I know kids have been bitten by the furries.
And what are the teachers in the school? Because the Tribune, which is a wreck of a newspaper, they said none of this is happening. And the school says this is nothing to worry about. None of this is happening. Why are they saying that?
Honestly, it doesn't surprise me. Bullying and drugs are two of the things that have been a major issue with the Nebo School District for a while now. And it makes me sad that anyone would bully, but kids, as you know, kids are kids, and us parents can only lead by example and teach our kids to be kind, and unless we're going to hold their hand for the rest of their lives 24/7. But the school district is not helping by even not even acknowledging that this is happening. Even that's just evidence of a long-standing problem with them denying that all this. They have photos and videos and seeing it with their own eyes. To me, it sounds like this is social and emotional learning in practice. Mm-hmm. They want to teach our children to reorder their values and their beliefs, even the idea of what is truth. It's like, to me, it's like exposure therapy, getting them to tolerate and accept a lie. And they're making accommodations for some kids that are, that's called centering around the marginalized.
So, it's so bizarre. Has your son said anything in class or complained at all? Like, hey, you know, he's chewing on a stick. It might not be the best idea, but it's really distracting.
Yeah, we've had a number of students who have complained or told the principal, vice principal, dean of students, teachers, and they continue with just be kind to them, just be kind, just be nice. Even if I have one student who was eating lunch with her friends and one of the cat furries came out and started rubbing on her leg, and just telling her over and over again to stop, her not stopping and finally getting upset and saying, stop. She and her friends had to leave the lunchroom because they weren't being nice to the furries.
Oh my gosh.
So it's ridiculous. I feel like they're just trying to downplay it, trying to say that our children and us adults are lying. And with the turnout and how this has gone viral and the turnout of our protest, with how many people have come forward and come to me and sent me hundreds of stories and pictures and videos, there is no way that this is just some made-up thing.
So it took an awful lot of courage to come on the show with me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I hope you felt safe that you weren't going to, you know, but I mean, just because your son and now you're using your name and everybody's going to know. And are you afraid of blowback at all?
Yes, there's always the chance of blowback. I haven't received any personally yet, but I believe in standing up for what's right and standing up for my children. I will always stand up for my children and do what is right and protect them.
You know, I've talked to some House members and Senate members from the state of Utah, this a few years ago, and I said, you know, what is going on with the schools? And I was told over and over again, the problem is the teachers' unions spend so much money and lobbying and everything else, and the parents don't call for the other side. So they're only hearing from parents when it's bad, and you know, when it's something that they've done because they were in bed with the teachers' unions. But most times it's just a few parents, and the teachers' unions are everywhere. And the people that told me this were very frustrated with it, and they said the biggest thing that people can do to help us help them is to call and make sure that your legislators in your state know exactly how you feel and how you feel honestly about these teachers' unions, because they're the ones that are running everything. They're the ones that are on the front lines. They're the ones that should be saying, you know, your sixth grader thinks they're a cat and they spend their time licking themselves in class. And it's a disturbance to other students. And quite honestly, you might want to have that checked. There's something wrong here.
Exactly. I don't care if you're black, blue, purple, green, a fish, a cat, or a dog. It doesn't matter to me. You can identify however you would like. But when it's a disturbance in class or when you're bullying or hurting other students, that's when I have a problem. This shouldn't be in the schools at all. Schools, I don't believe politics or any of that should be in schools. I feel like those are for our kids to learn. And those type of things are for kids to learn outside of school. Just like I said earlier, exposure therapy, get them to tolerate and accept the lie.
Kirsten, pleasure. I have to disagree with one thing you said there, because I've always been like, I don't care, and I don't care what color, religion, or anything else you are, unless you're trying to kill people, then I kind of care about your religion.
Yeah.
you know, we can no longer have this toleration of, you know, you want to call yourself a cat, you can call yourself a cat. Now, you can do that, but I'm not going down the road and identifying you as a cat. I will not call you by your pronouns,
right?
You know, Little Miss Kitty. You're not a cat. And quite honestly, the more you keep up with this, the more unhealthy I think you are, and the more damage you're doing to the other kids. I'm sorry, but we need to be respectful and tolerant of other people. But when it comes to the truth, we must stand for the truth. That's how we got into this place, that we're dealing with furries. It's crazy.
No, I completely agree. People are people. They're going to do what they want to do. But forcing others that don't believe in the same beliefs you have, or this identity craziness that's going on in our world right now, getting upset with them or judging them for not believing in the same thing as you is wrong. I feel like it's a two-sided coin. You're being a hypocrite.
Yeah, well, you don't judge them, and you know, you're going to hell. You don't judge them. You're not their judge, but you are someone who is supposed to be discriminating in all the good sort of ways that word used to have. Discriminating mm-hmm. tastes, where you could discriminate good from evil. There's no good fruit from the tree that teaches kids they can be dogs, you know, elephants, or the opposite sex. Tell me the good fruit that comes from that tree. There's nothing good that comes from that mm-hmm. tree. And we have to start saying that. There's nothing good. There is no good that comes from this. Stop it. When kids use their imagination, that is entirely different than insisting that they're a cat and they're in sixth grade. No.
Right.
No.
Forcing that upon the kids is just helping the kids learn, like, oh, okay, this is acceptable. This is okay. Yeah. This is the normal.
And it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. And it's also teaching our kids to be quiet when they see things that aren't right. We have to teach our kids to stand. I'm sorry. He's chewing on a stick, which is very disturbing and quite honestly not healthy for him. Could you please tell him no chewing? I can't believe I have to say this to you, adult, as a sixth grader, but can you please tell him no chewing on sticks in class?
Right. And I do know there are teachers that stand with us, and it's sad because they have to also look at this is their career. This is their livelihood on the line. If they stand up and say something, what's going to happen to them? And
well, let me ask you this.
I really do feel for.
I used to feel that way, Kirsten, and I have sympathy for the teachers who are feel this way. But let me just speak to the teachers that might feel that way. You know, what's going to happen to you if you speak out? Well, let me ask you eternally, what is going to happen to you if you don't speak out? And these children who are the most vulnerable among us, you are allowing them to be misled and down this path where, again, no good comes. I appreciate your fear. I do. I really do. I know how frightening it is, but you have an eternal responsibility to the truth, especially when it comes to children. Kirsten, I admire your bravery. Thank you so much. And we'll continue to follow this story. I hope there is action taken in this school and this nonsense stops. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yep. God bless. That's Kirsten Pledger from the Mount Nebo Middle School. She's just a mom who is surrounded by a crazy group of administrators at the school.
You're listening to the best of Glenn Beck. Check out the full show podcast to listen to the rest of this interview.
I just have to tell you what my phone screen looks like right now. Four or five calls about furries and parents dealing with furries. And then I have Mike Lee on the phone. And I have a decision to make. And it's a hard one. It is a hard one. We're going to have to come back to the furry thing because apparently a lot of people have experience with furries. Their kids have experience with furries in school. So we'll come back to that maybe tomorrow or the next day. Mike Lee joins us now from Washington, D.C. There is a vote coming up for Ukraine. And, you know, Mike Lee just loves Vladimir Putin. And so he's against that Ukraine bill. Hello, Mike Lee.
Naturally. I don't know how to say good day to you, sir, in Russian, but I'm still working on that. Yeah. I'm sure Vladimir can point that out to me.
Right. $95 billion. It only will take 41 senators to stop it. There are 49 Republicans in the Senate. But you saw what happened in the House. They had Ukrainian flags. It was disgusting, Mike.
Yep. Celebrating a foreign flag on U.S. soil in the legislative chamber of the United States government seems kind of odd to me, but not nearly as odd as the fact that we're shelling out $95 billion with a B at a time when we don't have that money. So it's borrowed, which means we're going to print it, which means it's going to contribute even more to inflation. It's already causing Americans to have to shell out an additional $1,000 every single month just to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads. This is an insult to the American people. When you ask the American people what they want about this, overwhelmingly, they say no. I mean, look, regardless of what you think about what's going on in Ukraine, and I intensely dislike Vladimir Putin, I would love for Ukraine to win this battle. But, you know, Glenn, we've spent $113 billion plus on this war already. Why are we sending another $61 billion to that effort when Europe hasn't stepped up? We've given more than any other nation on Earth, every other nation on Earth combined. And this is in the backyard of our European allies, who, by the way, we've been backfilling their security needs for decades through NATO. This is their problem more immediately than it is ours. We shouldn't give another dime, especially while our own border is not secure, while we have a $34.5 trillion debt, and while Europe still hasn't paid up a sum not just equal to, but greater than what we put in so far. This is shameful.
I heard somebody in the House say that their border is our border. No, it's not. No, it's not. Our border is our border. Their border is their border. I mean, we are not getting any money to protect ourselves. We have a real and present danger because of our own border. Everything that I'm reading, I don't even know what this is about, Mike, other than money laundering, sending money over there, and it's, you know, all going to oligarchs. We're funding this thing. We're sending the message that we want war. we are talking about bringing Ukraine in and making them part of NATO, making other states part of NATO that is kind of a red line for Vladimir Putin. And now I read today, I think it was Poland, that says they're ready for nuclear missiles in Poland. What? What do you think Vladimir Putin is going to do? Exactly what we would do if you put those in Acapulco.
Right. First of all, Glenn, you're wrong about the border issue. We all know that Kyiv is just a few miles away from Laredo. So yes. You're mistaken there.
Yeah.
But look, the idea of adding Ukraine to NATO is itself an idea about declaring war, the United States declaring war against Russia, because Ukraine, of course, is at war with Russia. And if we brought Ukraine into NATO, we would have an Article 5 obligation to fight Russia. So let's just call this what it is. Those conversations are about declaring war with a nuclear armed adversary. Now, look, I know that Russia economically and militarily is not on par with the United States. Nonetheless, their nuclear arsenal is. Their nuclear arsenal is massive, in part because they've cheated on us like crazy for decades on our nuclear arms treaties. And consequently, you've got to tread lightly in this area. And nothing says the opposite of tread lightly quite like declaring war on a nuclear armed adversary.
It is insanity. It's insanity. We are in so much. If we don't turn this around with elections in the House, the Senate, and the White House, if we don't turn this around, we're done. We're absolute. These actions are the actions of madmen who are. I mean, if I was being charitable, would say they're just horribly wrong at everything they do. But I just don't know how to explain it. And then the Republicans, I mean, what happened to Johnson, Speaker Johnson? I've always heard he was a good guy. He was devout. He really understood the Constitution. And he is just like, I mean, he is part of the Borg.
Well, he's Churchill. CNN literally called him Winston Churchill. He had his Winston Churchill moment.
Let me give you the CNN headline. By passing Ukraine aid, Johnson became an unlikely Churchill.
Last I checked, Glenn, Winston Churchill defended and protected his country while it was under attack and threatened with invasion. He didn't send British treasure to another continent and call that border security for his home country. This is absolutely crazy, but this is part of the fantasy land that we live in. A lot of these guys want to think of themselves as Churchill, and they think this is the way to do it, by printing money we don't have and putting on the backs of hardworking Americans who are made incrementally poorer and a lot less safe every time we do crap like this.
All right, so we want you to call your senator today. Call your senator. You call all 50 or 49 senators from the Republicans, and respectfully, nicely, kindly tell them not to spend this money in Ukraine. And I will tell you, I've talked to a lot of people. There are more and more good guys up on Capitol Hill. They're still outnumbered, but there are more really good, dependable guys. And I hear from them every time. When the audience calls, it makes a difference. So please call and tell them no more spending money on Ukraine. No, spend it on our border. Keep us safe. What are you doing? Stop it. One other thing I want to talk to you about, Mike, is I don't understand. The president just doled out, I think it was another $7 billion in the last couple of days on relieving student debt. 30% of that money, I think, is going to people that make over $300,000 a year. What the how do you, when somebody says no to the Supreme Court and does it anyway and says, I know I don't have this power, and the Supreme Court just told me I have this power, but I'm not stopping. What has to happen to get a president who thinks he's just the king from spending our money and giving it to people who don't deserve it? They took out the loan, not me.
Yeah. So in the first place, I think it the most obvious answer is don't elect to the presidency someone who's manifestly unfit for office. But there's also a deeper question that we all need to assess, which is decades of congressional forfeiture of fundamentally legislative authority to the executive branch have, to a degree, empowered this kind of action. Whenever we enact vague, loosey-goosey language that gives a degree of discretion to the president and the bureaucrats who work under him in the executive branch, we're handing over a loaded gun to people who we have to assume will, from time to time, behave as imbeciles. And so we've got to reverse that trend. Yes, it's lawless what he's doing. Yes, he tried to do it under a different legal theory a while back and was shot down by the Supreme Court. But as soon as that happened, it's a sad commentary on the law in our country that without a hint of hesitation, he just said, okay, well, I'll find another legal mechanism by which I can do it. I don't believe he'd have the authority to do it last time. I don't think he has the authority to do it this time. But we've got to clean up our laws so that we get rid of any kind of vague delegation of power to the president, because they can't be trusted. This is why we can't have nice things, and this is why presidents shouldn't be given vast discretion.
On both sides.
Senator, isn't it true that, I mean, when you have a thing like the student loan situation where he's ignoring the Supreme Court and just trying to jam all of this through. He did this with the eviction moratorium as well. Mm-hmm. Aren't these examples of specifically what the founders were talking about when they were introducing the idea of impeachment? I mean, I understand the pragmatic limitations of that politically with something like this, but like, shouldn't this be included in the impeachment inquiry?
Yes, without question. And Stu, you're right, except remember with the new definition of impeachment that we have after last week, basically nothing's impeachable. I mean, you can lie to Congress knowingly, intentionally, under oath, and according to new Senate precedent set by Senate Democrats last week, that's not impeachable. So, too, if you take legislative authority that commands you to do X and not Y, and you instead do Y and not X, and that is also not impeachable. So it begs the question, what's impeachable anymore? I don't know. According to the Senate Democrats, nothing is. Mm. So this is really troubling, and yet another reason why we've got to focus on who we elect as president. I hope to shout we elect Donald Trump as president this fall, and I hope to shout we elect a new raft of lawmakers, not just Republicans, but Republicans who understand the vital pressing need to right-size our federal government, to restore the vertical protection of federalism and the horizontal protection of separation of powers. There is no other way to save our republic than that. And yet that gets far too little attention from Republicans these days because they're too damn busy spending money on wars that aren't ours with money we don't have.
Mike, 30 seconds. Any comment on the Trump case going on in New York right now?
This is just a sad display of lawfare, of the weaponization of our legal system. There isn't anybody who thinks this would be going on were he not the presidential front runner from the Republican Party. They would never be doing it. And so speaking of things that need to go differently in elections, I hope to shout that the people of New York will see this as the embarrassment to the Empire State that it is. And see, this is something that does not bode well. If you have a business in New York, I wonder how long you can handle this, knowing that, you know, sure, Donald Trump is the target today. Who will be next?
Yeah. And they can take a misdemeanor and make it into a felony. A misdemeanor that the statute of limitations has run out on, and somehow or another make that a felony and bring you into court. No one's safe. No one is safe. Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it. Senator Mike Lee.
Thank you very much.
You bet.